Welcome to Damn Good Content Podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Claymall. From corporate world to entrepreneurship, I own a marketing agency, SCM, and I'm the founder of Damn Good Marketing Live. This podcast is all about digital marketing, cutting the fluff, and keeping it real with you. If you're ready, let's freaking get it. Hey guys, welcome back to Damn Good Content Podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Claymont, and I have Casey freaking D'Amato here with me today. We're live actually at our retreat today in Covington, Louisiana. We're so excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
So for those of you that don't know, she's my business coach. We did 6 months together and then we just signed on for another year. I met her actually a year ago. We actually reminisced on this last night. We met a year ago in Jasmine Star's Mastermind. And I remember when I found out I was in Jasmine's Mastermind, I was in Disney World, and she literally shoots me a DM immediately and was like, hey girl, what's your, do you have the system set up for your business? If you don't, I can help you. What are your KPIs? I'm like, I don't even know what those words mean. It's fine. We're fine. Everything's fine. Anyway, so give a little bit about who you are and everything to people that are listening, people in the room that may not know who you are.
Yeah, I'm happy to share. And I remember that day when I saw you in Disney World and I saw your first Instagram and you were so inspiring. You were giving us talk and you posted on your Instagram and I was like, this is the girl I'm going to connect with. She knows social media. It's not a strong suit for me. So I'm joining this mastermind to balance out my weaknesses. And you were the first person that I sent the DM to.
Oh, good. So you didn't send them to everyone.
No, I did not. I did not send to
Maybe
everyone.
I should learn from your book. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So I am a business advisor and executive life coach. I help people who want to grow their business and simultaneously grow their life. I started as a dermatology PA, mm-hmm. and in my journey of getting into medicine and starting out in Los Angeles, California, I managed a multi-million dollar medical practice. And from there, I started a skincare line. I remember the day I was sitting in the living room with my husband, and I looked at him and I said, should we start this big venture? And he said, if you want to do it, I support you. And we dove into it head first, and we started mm-hmm. the first natural medical grade skincare. And we got a lot of press. It looked very glamorous from the outside. Lots of celebrity shout outs, lots of press. But on the inside, I was really struggling. And yeah. I really had a hard time. We raised some capital from shareholders. And about 5 years into it, the revenue was flat. We were distributing through physician channels. It wasn't working well. We had mm-hmm. hired outside sales force. And things were not going so well. And it landed me in multiple medical offices, you know, very ill mentally, physically. The business was basically killing me. Yeah. And I had to figure out some challenging solutions for myself internally and figure out how to overcome that. And when I did, we created a partnership with another company. We launched in Europe, South America. We then exited that company. I have two coaching and consulting companies now, one for medical professionals and one for entrepreneurs, and also a real estate portfolio. And it's really my passion to pay it forward and to help other people overcome some of those challenges that can weigh us down as entrepreneurs. And we think we're going down this road alone. We think that we're the only ones having these internal struggles. And I wish that I had somebody like mm-hmm. myself with a level of experience to help guide me through these paths, to learn how to make some of these big, complicated decisions that will ultimately change the trajectory of my life.
Yeah. And it's just like the simple questions that you ask me or any of your coaching clients that really just guide us into the next way that we should do things. Okay, I want to rewind a little bit. You were a PA and a derm.
Yeah.
In LA.
Yes.
So what made you move from that and say, like, I'm just done. Steve, I'm done with this. I want to move into, were you doing the derm part with the skincare at the same time?
Yes.
So when skincare basically killed you, you left the whole clinic altogether, correct?
I ended up exiting. I retired from clinical care and sold the company all the same year. That was all 2020. So I practiced clinical medicine for 17 years, and I was doing both. I started the skincare company in 2010, mm-hmm. and I was doing both. And I cut back to part-time clinically, but I was still trying to scale this company yeah. and practice, and it was a lot. And I think for me, the entrepreneur bug, there's something in all of us as entrepreneurs that we just want more. It's not more money. It's not that. It's more freedom. And I always thought, I love medicine and I love my patients, but I have to physically be in this office from 9 to 5. And I always thought, what if there's a different way? What if there's a way I can contribute to more people than the 20 people I can see in a day? What if I can help more people in the world? And ultimately, even with the skincare, product-based business I found was not my core passion. That's why I have two coaching and consulting businesses now. My passion is to serve other people and help other people. A physical product for me didn't quite cut it. And that was one of the hard decisions I had to make when I exited that business, was that this is not lighting me up. This is not my passion. I don't necessarily feel that this, it feels very anonymous. Yeah. It was online, it was international, all these things, but I wasn't interacting with the end consumer.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm really passionate about. And so from clinical medicine, we serve our patients, but I thought, what if there is a way as an entrepreneur I can serve more people and I can impact more lives? And that's what really is my fuel and my why, my passion and what I do.
So in that moment when you were building your business, because there's a lot of entrepreneurs sitting in the room with us today and listening on this podcast, at any point when you were in your journey, did you feel it in your gut that this is just not what is supposed to be what I'm doing, but you kept going because you were still craving that freedom and the luxury life of what you thought that would bring?
Yeah, 100%. So I kept going, even though I knew maybe this one path isn't the one. And what most people won't tell you, if you talk to people that have had multiple businesses and have reached a level of success, I guarantee you they have failed a lot, many times along the journey. And so there was a point there that I thought, is this a failure? And it felt like that at the time.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the right path. And the way that I knew that, we had tried different iterations and I had different coaches and different mentors and different advisors, and we were going through all these different avenues around growing that particular business. But at the end of the day, it was still a struggle. It still was beating me up mentally and physically.
Yeah.
It was not bringing me energy. It was taking my energy. And no matter what we tried, and this went on for years and years, too long probably, I realized this is not the path. This business, I need to exit from this business, whatever that looks like. It ended up being a partnership, and that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But I need to exit this and pivot into something new. And the other thing that people don't realize is that's natural for entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs will pivot and make changes typically every 3 to 5 years. It doesn't have to be a full exit, but there will be a new iteration, a new innovation of your business or a style or a type of service or product, a delivery that will be different every 3 to 5 years. And people don't realize that. And so then it feels like a internal struggle when all of a sudden you're like, this isn't working. Something needs to change. But that's natural and normal. Yeah. In order to be successful, something has to change every 3 to 5 years. Not always as dramatic as an exit, but something has to change about your business every 3 to 5 years in a pretty big way if you want to grow.
Oh God, I'm coming up on 3 years. Oh,
it's time.
Anyway, I'm kidding. Okay, so you touched on failure just now. I want to touch on that a little bit because I think what happens with everyone, or it could just be me, I don't know. A lot of times we're scared of failure because of pride. It gets in your way. We are trained and our minds are really molded to say, like, when you shouldn't fail. You shouldn't want to fail. You shouldn't whatever. Now I'm like, I want to fail. As an entrepreneur, everything has shifted. I failed a million times. But as a failure, that leads to success. You learn something good in that. And that is not, that's the opportunity that's coming. Can you touch a little bit more on failure of like, give us something that you like, something tangible that you failed at, I guess, would be skincare you thought was good, but not at the same time. Give us something.
Entrepreneurship is a sequence of micro failures and sometimes major failures. And that's the way it goes. Almost daily, if not weekly, there will be a failure.
Yeah.
And so the way to counterbalance that mentally is to celebrate the wins, even if they're small wins. And so I think we all take, especially as women, we take it really personally. We want to be perfect.
Yes.
And we want to overachieve. And we don't expect these obstacles and these what is perceived as failures, but they're not. Every single one of those micro failures are a learning opportunity. So every single time that, you know, I perceived I was failing in that venture because we had shareholders and we had a lot of financial reporting to do, and if we weren't hitting numbers or things, that felt like a failure. But the reality is I was learning. I was learning KPIs. I was learning marketing. I was learning about, you know, building the sales team and how to effectively communicate with them and communicate to the marketplace. So every single one of those failures led me to a new opportunity of growth in either that business or in future businesses. So I really encourage people not only to embrace the failures as learning opportunities, not to dwell on them like, yep, that happened. That really sucks that just happened. What am I going to learn from it? What am I going to do differently? And more importantly, what went well this week? And I'm going to celebrate that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stay living in this space of negativity that something here didn't work, which is really a learning opportunity. But something else, even if it was small, something else amazing happened this week, and let's celebrate that.
Yeah, I gave myself this rule. So basically, Casey's my sounding board. So every time something bad happens, I text her immediately, and I'm an emotional roller coaster. Everyone in here that knows me knows this. Like, it's like I'm crazy, whatever. But I've made this rule this year that I can feel it for like a day. So like something like shit hits the fan, I can give myself like a day to be like, I feel bad for myself or like pissed off or whatever. But then it's like, put your big girl pants on. We're an entrepreneur now. It's time to grind. So I love that having you. If you are an entrepreneur listening to this podcast or in this room, make sure that you have someone to bounce all of these feelings and ideas and failures like off of, or just someone that can point out those wins for you. Because when you are in that realm of failure, you forget like what has worked for you and what you've done in the small wins of, hey, I got my kids to school on time and I packed their lunch. Like those things that we look that aren't that big to the world, that's huge to us. So I think just like taking a step back and understanding that. So I want to go deep dive into the next question is if you were to take on a consulting client, which you have obviously, and they want to build their business to, I want two part question, six figures, their first six figures or multi six figure. Or seven figures and eight figures. So at that, what are your pivots? What are your recommendations? Like, how do we get from wanting to get to six figures into seven figures? Can you give us that?
That is a great question. So in business, there's breakpoints. So it's certain stages of business and certain sizes and certain revenue, there is breakpoints. And these things will stop you in your tracks when you're building a business. So if you're starting out, you're less than, say, $200,000 in revenue. All of your attention should be on marketing, awareness, trust, and sales. That's what you're assuming your business model is healthy and it's has ability to be profitable. But all of your activities at that stage, if you want to grow, should be on awareness, trust, marketing, sales. Period. End of story. That's how you're going to grow to the next level. If you're already at mid six figures trying to go to seven or eight, the name of the game is in your teams and your systems. At this point, it's time to hire additional team in the right order, make sure that the team members are justifying their costs. So they're either freeing up your time so that you can focus more on the sales, marketing, and trust, or they're taking on some of that role for you, but they should be more than paying for themselves. So it should be an investment that you're recouping. So if you're at mid six figures, seven figures, and trying to grow, you are growing your team in a systematic way and starting to layer your team. So first it's build the team. Now you're putting layers of management and then your implementers or the people that are executing. So you're separating yourself to be able to work on the business, not in the business. So starting out, it's you doing everything. You're the solopreneur, right? If you're 100 grand or 200 grand, you're doing everything. And your primary focus, lots of time on sales, marketing, trust, awareness. Then once you're getting to that next step, you're like, how do I do more? Then it's time to start building the team. Once you're getting to mid seven figures, it's time to put management levels in the team and improve all of those internal systems, which really is a term that people throw around. It's really about communication. It's really about every person on the team understanding what they're responsible for, when their deliverables are due, and how everybody's communicating with each other. And if something doesn't go well, which we all know happens every single day,
yeah.
What is our process and protocol so that we can just move past this? We can learn from it, fix it, move past it. And so that's what the systems are all about. It's really about communication. So everybody knows what everyone's doing. The expectations are clear. And when you know what hits the fan, we have a plan because we know that's going to happen. And so we can just keep moving past it. And that's how you grow from early stages into seven figures and beyond.
Yeah. Last night someone said, I think it was Jessica. It was like, it's so cliche. I think it was you. So cliche to say, we need to stop working in our business. Stop working in our business and start working on our business. Can you talk about like the importance of that? Like it is cliche to say because everybody just throws that around as well, yes. But you just said it. Yes. How important is it to, when you have the right systems and processes in place, when you have the employees that you trust to help keep the back of it going and running smoothly, so now you are out there and actually working on your business instead of in it?
Yep, teamwork makes the dream work. I am not shy ever about a team. I every time I start a new venture, the first thing I do is I have at least one person, at least one VA, one assistant to help me with some of the minutia. Yes, it's going to be an investment, but I'm going to have my plan based on numbers of when I'm going to be able to recoup that investment. Because if you're in the minutia every single day, in the weeds with all the details, you will get stuck there and you will not grow. So you 100%, if you want to grow your business, you have to invest in people. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it goes. And managing people is not the most fun because mm-hmm. we're all human beings and we all have life, and life disrupts things and people will come and go. And that's part of the process. And that's something to embrace. And it's managing other human beings that have emotions and have their own responsibilities. And that can be challenging when it comes to our business. But if we want to grow as business owners, stepping into our new leadership role and leading our team instead of being in the business executing all the details for our clients or for our community, that is the mind shift that will take people from six figures to seven to eight when they start thinking about, I am a leader of a team and I will build this thing and this machine. I will build it and grow it with the current team, with new team, with replacement team. That's the mindset that will allow people to grow. People that think that they're the only ones that can do it, nobody can do it as well as them, that's where you get stuck in the business, working in the business, and you'll never be able to get past a certain breakpoint.
Yeah, you said something great right there. Is a lot of people, I mean me, I always, so when I worked in corporate, I was always like, I'm never going to be a micromanager like the boss I had. Like it was actually terrible. But I do know that since it's my baby, and I know a lot of people are about to resonate with this, is when it's your baby, it's really hard to let go and let someone else. So for example, a lot of our clients are like, it's really hard. How would I even let you do my social media or do any of this? Because you don't understand. Because I understand that. You can ask my team. I mean, I give them a hard time when they create for SEM or even for Damn Good Marketing Live. We understand that. What is your advice when it is your baby, you are building, and it's the scary aspect of when you start working on your business instead of in your business, shit will hit the fan. Things will get dropped, but it's... You have to trust your team and make sure that those systems and processes that you put in place are working smoothly and are good for you to actually go do that. So what's your advice on, like, let go and let your team take it to the next level for
you? This is something I learned early on practicing clinically, because if you think about it, even when you go to your own medical practice, you see, you know, the doctor, you see the PA, the nurse practitioner, then there's nurses and there's medical assistants, there's front desk, right? And everybody has a very clearly defined role and everybody trusts everybody else. You don't see the doctors doing the billing or necessarily answering the front desk phones. Yeah. And so this is something that I pulled from my prior history into my business and the way I operate my businesses. And I think all of us as entrepreneurs can think back to life in corporate or prior lives and apply those skills that you had in your prior life before you became an entrepreneur into this, into managing and leading a team. Because it's all about the communication. It's all about setting your team up with expectations for what you want them to do, and then continuing to encourage them to take on more leadership and more responsibility, and asking them, is this what you want?
Yeah.
Do you want to step into more responsibility, and challenging them with small tasks that you slowly, things that are your baby that you're thinking, oh my gosh, how can I have this person take on this responsibility? My clients are not going to like it if it's not me, or it's not going to look like me on social media or my brand. But the reality is, if you're training your team to be an extension of you and you have your processes and checklists in place, then they can execute as good, if not sometimes better than you can. And that's when you start to recognize that. You're like, holy crap, they actually are doing that faster and better than I was doing it. Dang, like, this is the game changer now. I'm not strong at tech, so I always have people on my team with tech. It will take me, for all of you Canva experts, it will take me 2 hours to make one PDF on Canva that my girls will whip out in 15 minutes when I send them some notes. I'm like, that's flipping beautiful. That's great. I love it. And so recognize your weakness and, you know, hire a team member, and they're going to do it half the time better than you, and and capture your voice as well, if not better.
I think too, a lot of times that's where the freedom comes, because when you build that solid team, then that's where it comes, where why we became an entrepreneur. We can go bring our kids to X. We can just go take a freaking coffee break. We could do something without being bombarded, because you trust the processes that you put in place that your team is handling. And I will tell you this, I'm a control freak, literally. And so, but I will tell you, my team has gotten better than me. And so when I do have clients that are like, well, I want you. You do want me, but they're better than me. So you actually want them. If you wanted me to create your content, it would be last minute because I'm just so busy.
Yes.
I've trained them to be an extension of me. And it's a beautifully crafted, sometimes things fall through the cracks, sometimes they don't. So I'm going to shift the gears just a little bit for everyone. We're going to talk about personal and being on social and living a life outside of being an entrepreneur, just because every single person in here could, you know, need a little date night or just to get over certain things. So what is your advice to me a lot is when I'm running a business, have two very small kids and a husband, to like let go and go have family time.
Yes. Advice for social media?
Well, no, let's talk about family first of like you need time away from your like being an entrepreneur.
Yes.
And you need time just with your family. Turn it off. And like how you've implemented date nights, even though we gave up eating out for Lent. So we're going to have to get creative. So it's fine.
If you're ready to break through that small town mentality and take your business, brand, or corporate jobs to the next level, then Damn Good Marketing Live 2024 is for you. Now picture yourself surrounded by a community of like-minded individuals, all hungry for growth and success. DGML is your gateway to unparalleled networking opportunities and invaluable insights from industry experts. If you're ready to move that needle in your business and embrace a transformative experience, then I invite you to join us at DGML this year. Trust me, I've been in your shoes searching for that missing piece. And now I'm bringing it back to Louisiana because I know firsthand the power of putting yourself in the room. Because once you do, you'll be amazed by the transformation. So don't miss out. Secure your spot to Damn Good Marketing Live 2024. Check the link below in the description and let us know if you have any questions.
Yes. So one thing along my journey and in some of my darkest times, I realized forecasting the numbers was not the only answer to finding fulfillment in life. It was about the numbers, yes, because numbers and cash flow is the lifeline of business, but also forecasting your time and having fun, both in business and in personal.
Yeah.
So I'm extremely intentional, and I'm excited here at the retreat. We're going to be doing a workshop in just a minute about time blocking both for business and for personal life so that there is time on the calendar for the date night, for the conversation with your best friend. And these things seem like, oh my gosh, I have to put this on my calendar. You know, I have a standing meeting with my best friend every Wednesday for 30 minutes on her commute in the morning. She's in California and I'm on the East Coast, and we chat because otherwise life is busy and we don't get to connect.
Yes.
And so I carve out specific time. It's on my calendar for best friends, for my date nights. If you follow my social media, you'll see lots of date nights with myself and my husband. We value that, our time together, very much. And we invest a lot of time in our relationship, because just like investing in our business, if we're not investing in the relationships outside of business, they will not succeed either. We all know people that have successful business, but maybe their marriage fell apart over time, or they're worse, they're in an unhappy marriage. So we are very intentional about investing in our relationship just as much as we invest in our business ventures and in our careers.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important. She made me start implementing that, even though, because like your spouse or your friends, you just, if you don't put it on your calendar, or even just simple things like content creation, if you're content creating for yourself or business, standing business meetings, we do that on Mondays. Like it's literally my whole day is booked out and I have spaces where no one can book me. We can't have meetings. We can't do anything. So that's super important. I just wanted you to touch on that because you like drove down my throat. You need to have a date night with your husband. And I'm like, oh, okay, let me put it on my calendar.
Yes. Real quick. And self-care, massages, and travel, if that's your thing. All those things on
all
the
of
calendar.
Them on your calendar. Okay, now we get into the juicy stuff. Social media.
Social media.
So I want you to take a step back. I want you to give some advice because you aren't good at social media. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that as you knew you needed to do it. I know, everybody giggled. You knew you needed to do it. Was it easy for you to put your face on camera and talk to camera? Be honest. I don't know. Maybe I feel like you're going to say yes, but it could be no.
It was not. So one regret I have about some of my prior ventures, particularly the skincare venture, which was my largest, I stayed behind the scenes very much so. We had influencers and other people, but I never went on camera ever. So it was very actually challenging to see that I was even co-founder of this brand. It was sort of faceless founder brand. And, you know, that was a regret that I have. And so about a year ago, I decided after a year sabbatical that I was going to come back out and develop a personal brand. I didn't really know what that meant. I was like, personal brand, that sounds cool and fun. I don't know. So when I met Shelby at this retreat, I realized building a personal brand has a lot to do with social media. And I was like, oh boy, I didn't want to do social media back then. Do I want to do it now? So It does not come easy to me. I am comfortable speaking. I speak at a lot of events. I always have on multiple different areas. So I'm comfortable speaking on stage, but I am not comfortable holding the camera and I feel like I'm talking to myself. But Shelby, you do such a great job. I mean, like, you're not talking to yourself. You're talking to people that need to hear the message. And that is something that I encourage myself, and I have to really remind myself every day because I want to give to my clients and I am busy and doing like we all are, and I forget, okay, this message could help so many people. So if I went on camera more, if I show up more in my stories, which I am a little more on stories than I am in my post, this will impact so many people. And when I do it, I will get DMs and I will get messages and people will say, this impacted my life. And my personal mission now is to impact 10 million people. And if that just comes from a DM, I'm happy with that. If someone says this message changed my life, or someone says I had a 30-minute conversation with you a few months ago and that changed my life, then that's what it's all about. Yeah. And social media is a platform that you can impact so many people with your message, all of our unique messages. We can impact so many people and make a positive difference. And so you challenge me all the time, which I love, that you challenge me to get out there more. And I am a huge proponent, especially for businesses who want to grow, putting your face out there, having your personal brand attached to your business identity. I'm a huge believer in that. I think it was a big regret I had in my prior ventures, and now I encourage everybody to do it.
So going into that, obviously you answered my next question, but I'm going to ask it again anyway, so you can just elaborate a little bit more. How important is it to build and show your face as the person behind the business more on social than anybody's ever imagined? Like, yes, there's faceless accounts. Yes, there's businesses that thrive that don't show the owner. But I'm not going to even say what I think. I want you to answer that question because I feel like everybody already knows what I think.
Every single one of my clients, social media is the first thing that we're talking about. If we're looking to grow, the first step to grow is getting awareness. So you only have a couple of options to get awareness. You're either doubling down on your social, which I highly recommend because it's free and we all have access to it and you can do it in a few moments a day, or you are paying a lot for advertising, PR, speaking agencies to get out there and speaking. But somebody, more people need to know who you are if you want to grow your business. So social media is by far the easiest, most accessible way, fastest way to build and grow is showing up on social media, hands down.
I'll say, okay, so let's break this down a little bit. We're going to talk about this more today, but to give the listeners just a little insight, y'all just get a little extra here. There's a difference between personal brand building within your business. So when you're a personal brand building as like me, so it's Shelby, the bigger goal here is to get hired to speak on stages. So I separated it from my actual brand, but I still am the face of my brand on SCM. So say you don't have the goals to be hired outside of maybe your venue or, you know, your party supply, whatever the case may be, that type of personal brand, you don't need to be building. You need to be building your personal brand within your actual business, because you are a walking testament of your business. They learn from you the values, the missions, and who you are as a human being that is behind and that has fueled that actual business. So that is very important for everyone in here to show their face every once in a while on their business page. It also builds authority of this person actually knows what they're talking about. For example, with Carly, when we talk about everything with Botox or anything med spa, even with Lauren, when we get them in front of the camera, people are going to trust them more. They're going to trust them that, okay, they know what they're doing. They know how to make me look pretty. They know, they listen. They know what they're talking about because this is really big. If you are hiding behind scenes and you're just showing the services or the products that you offer, that is nothing different from what your competitor is doing. You literally are the only difference. So when you start a business, whether it's you wanting to get in front of the camera or there's someone on your team that can really kind of portray the message, that's not the right word, but you understand what I'm saying, for the world to see, for the value of like, what is your mission? What is your values? What is their experience when they walk into your clinic, your fitness studio, whatever the case may be, when they can feel that, that's a personal brand within your business. So it's completely different if you're building a personal brand to go teach, to go speak, to be an influencer, that's separate. But if you're building a personal brand in your business, that is just letting someone know what's making you different and the experience they will have within your business than your competitor. So I just wanted to like, we're going to go really dive into that today. I'm going to make y'all do a lot of workshopping, but it's fine. Because there's a lot, because we do deal with some people, and I want to get your feedback on this too, that are building a personal brand. I was doing this. A personal brand and SCM in the same account. It's two messages, two different things. I was Shelby Claymaugh is more motivating, break the small town mentality, go chase your dreams, so cliche, like that's me. Where SCM is, let's build your brand, let's be build brand awareness, get on social media, we're a social media management agency. And when I had them together, it was very confusing of what my message was. And it's two separate audiences. So make sure if you're building both, you need to separate that clearly and your messages need to be different. Okay, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree 100%. If you are showing up for your business, the goal of showing up for your business is to build trust and to be professional and to represent what you want your business to represent. And that comes through in yourself as well. But there is a bit of brand reputation in the element of representing your business. When you're representing yourself, you are you. You are Shelby Claymaugh, and you are representing, you're stepping out of small town into bigger mindset. You're being authentic, right? So when you're representing yourself on social, you are you. And if it's me, I'm showing my date nights, right? I wouldn't show that on my business pages. On my business pages, you're usually being a little bit more intentional. You're being a bit more professional. You're representing what you want your business brand to be. On your personal page, you're being you, and you're representing how you want the world to perceive you. What are your core values, and how do you want people that come into your ecosystem? Because like attracts like. And so people that resonate with you being authentic or me balancing business and relationships, those are the people that we want to work with. Yeah. You want to work with people who value being authentic.
Yeah. I will say this too. I just want to hone in on this as well. You as a business owner are under a microscope. So no matter what you do, people are going to be watching and they're going to like connect that with your business. So you do still, we still have to be very cautious. Even if you're personal account is private, when they see you in public, and it depends on how you make them feel. Like all of those things still tie to your business. So make sure as a whole, they can say that's a very professional person put together and they, I want to work with them because of XYZ, whatever your branding messages may be. Maybe it's luxury, maybe it's not, whatever the case may be. You still as the owner and human being have to kind of match that brand, and you can't go like crazy buck wilds on your personal brand and expect them to like look at you as a luxury brand on your actual business. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. Okay, last question, and then we're gonna go into your, and then we're gonna cut for the world to hear and let these ladies get to know you a little bit better. But I want you to talk a little bit about imposter syndrome as a business owner, living your life on social media, because it is a microscope. We talked about this a little bit last night of how you don't really scroll, which is fine because I've stopped scrolling too. Yes, the social media person literally tries not to scroll as much. And like how that can really tarnish your mindset and your mentality.
100%. So social media, there's a fine balance. There is educational content on there and there is inspirational content on there. And those things are amazing. And then there's all this facade and filtered life of like, oh my gosh, that person's doing it perfect. They look like they have it all together. I don't know if I'll ever be as successful as this person, or they're in my same industry. And so I don't know if this is really worth it because there's already so many people doing what I'm doing and I'm just one of many. So how am I going to stand out and break through? So it kind of plays these mind games on you. So you're looking and scrolling for education and inspiration, but at the same time, you're also getting beat down thinking like, oh, but there's so many people and I don't know if I can do this. I'm not the one. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in competition is good. There's competition in every industry. If there isn't somebody else doing something similar to what you're doing, you're probably in a business that isn't that viable, quite frankly, or you better be ready to raise a lot of capital to break through. So there should be people doing things similar, but you are your unique you. And so what I recommend is just doubling down on knowing your unique strengths, how you're different, how you're serving your community, and don't worry about the rest. Don't worry about the competition. Don't worry about the haters. The people that are successful will encourage you. Haters have time to spend on social media, you know, spewing hate or criticizing or judging, and those people aren't worth your time. So ignore it, forget it, don't comment back, just move on and focus on how you're serving your community. And the other thing to think about when you are delivering yourself on social media, and this is something that I'm always struggling with because social media is definitely a learning curve for me, is showing up as the person I want to become on social media. So we all have our past history and that forms who we are, but we're on this journey of self-development over time and business development over time, and we're always moving towards the next iteration of our community building. So when we show up on social, are we stepping into our new self? And is that what we are portraying to the world? Because when we do that, we will attract people that think bigger and think higher. If we are showing up as the person we were 3 years, 5 years ago when we first started our business, we're going to attract people that are more entry level. Yeah. And so as we grow our business, it's really important to always be stepping into your future you. The thing that you're waiting to become for the day when everything's perfect, what if everything was perfect in your business right now? How would you be different on social? How would you be different in your interactions? What if you imagined your business 3 or 5 years in the future and you waved a magic wand and everything was beautiful and perfect? How would you be different in the way that you portray that online? And what if you just did that now?
Yeah, that was good. A hater ain't, wait, what is this saying? It's like haters are never more successful than you or right. something like that. I don't know.
But more
that.
Successful people. Wow. Anyway, never hate.
So recently, go back to the basics of marketing, everyone. Casey came in January, AKA she tried and Louisiana went crazy and had a weather storm and we just had to Zoom for the whole day. Go back and write a SWOT analysis of your business. If you don't know what that is, it's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And truly ask yourself and dive deep into the SWOT analysis of you and your competitors and all of this and your mission and your values and go back to the basics of marketing and what really stands out. And a lot of times too, I will say this area everywhere, as we're growing with entrepreneurship, it really is, the comparison will kill you. It's the thief of joy. And having competitors does suck. It's good, but it also does suck because social media it's such a microscope of like, this is what's going on in your world and they're there and you're seeing it and people are sharing it and whatever. And it's like a mental drain or whatever. So just knowing that it's okay to, you don't necessarily have to follow your competitors. You can have your social team do it where you as the entrepreneur doesn't see it. It is okay to block people. It's okay to hide their stuff. It is okay to be friend, like do not be their friend on Facebook or Instagram. If you want to be cordial and be their friend in real life, like that's cool. But if it does mess with your mental state, it's okay to remove them from your world because social media is fake. It is literally the fakest thing ever because you are seeing a snapshot preview of someone's life. You don't see the good, the bad, the ugly. Kayla said something last night. We were all talking. We were opening up about, you could see a family picture. They go through, sorry, Kayla. Her husband is, they obviously started Sobar South. Her husband is a recovering alcoholic, an addict. We had this great talk about everything. He's a huge advocate for it. And she said, you would look at this picture on social media and think that every single thing behind the scenes was actually perfect. And it wasn't. And that's the problem we have with social media. We think everyone's life is better, them influencing are better, their businesses are better, their marriage is better, their kids act better, like all these, their house is better, all of these things. But if we try to change the narrative, there's 20 of us. It might take a while. But of showing the real shit, take the filters off, show your messy house, show the pile of laundry, showcase like, oh my God, I'm having a rough day. I mean, you don't have to go into that in extreme, but like be real. And it's weird for me to post a video of me crying on the internet, but do you understand how many people relate to me crying on the internet? It is insane how much people reached out and DM'd and was like, I feel the same way because it's hard. But if you can lean on friends that are doing entrepreneur stuff with you, business, goal-driven, way bigger thinkers in this small town bullshit that we all live in, then you're going to have such a community that's going to uplift you and accept you for who you are instead of the fancy fluff fakeness on social media. So as we wrap up, this is actually the last question, I promise. What are you most excited about for October 8th and 9th?
Oh my gosh.
And if you don't know what October 8th and 9th is, it's DGML. Just
yes. Saying. Yeah, I'm so excited for DGML. If you know, DGML was so amazing last year. This year is going to be epic. It's going to be so much better, bigger than even last year. And last year, I didn't think it could be any better. So I'm so excited. DGML, for anybody who doesn't know, is Shelby's baby, her event. It's everything marketing, branding, business mixed in. So for any stage of business, people are going to learn and take away something. I'm speaking again for the second time, and I'm so excited and honored. I'm so excited too.
Like this year literally gives me chills. When I sit back and think about it, I cry every time because it's just like God is so good because I had it on my heart of January of last year and it was going to be just a women's conference. I'm like, there's enough of that. And I was like, and I let it go. I was like, okay, I don't want to do this, whatever. And so I remember even having a meeting with a bunch of girlfriends and I was like, what are we going to do? How is this going to work? And I was like, you know what? This doesn't seem right. Then the mastermind happened. Then I met you and I met Jera. And then it just like came back. Okay, we don't have a marketing conference. But the whole goal with the marketing conference is I want you as social media managers to come in. I want you as marketing departments in these big corporations to come in. Because if I would have had that in corporate in Louisiana, I would have begged my boss to send me every single time. Because we crave that. That is what we want. It's you never know enough. You're never good enough. You always can need to continue to learn and get better for everything, especially in the world of marketing and social media and where it's going, because it's changing every single day. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Casey D'Amato. A website is caseydamato.com. I've got lots of free tools on there. Also a Facebook group. I would love to connect with you. Please shoot me a DM anytime. I will answer them. I answer them all personally. And I would love to connect with anybody who has questions about growing their business and growing their life.
I will say, I'm going to give her a little shout out. She's amazing. She is the person that you need in your life. If you do not have a business coach, life coach, I used to think they were silly. I'll admit. I was like, why do you even need that? But like, I do not know what I would do without you because of the decisions you help me make. She never tells me what to do in that instance. She just guides me into the decision that she knows I need to make, but she lets me do it by myself. But thank you so much for being here. I love you so much. This is the third time I've actually seen her in real life. Fourth time, third time, whatever. But anyway, as the listeners, until next time, let's freaking get it.
Absolutely. Let's freaking get it.
Woo! And that's a wrap on another episode of Damn Good Content Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please like, share, comment, leave us a review. And until next week, let's freaking get it.